The epistle appointed to be read for this, the last Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lots of the saints in life. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel. My beloved people, today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And the Gospel today is a going away message. It is a parting message. I'd like for each of you to pick up either your missals or today's bulletins and follow along very, very carefully. This is a message that we have to listen to and pay close attention to. It is taken from the Epistle of St. Matthew, or the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If they therefore say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are many things that I need to bring to your attention this morning, and I will strive to be brief. This morning, Father Francis had to go to Birmingham to the chapel in Birmingham because Father Sebastian had to stay here because of the oblates. And today, after that, the reason why Father Sebastian remained home this morning is because after this Mass this morning, Father Sebastian will receive the Benedictine oblates, and the oblates will make their profession. I ask the rest of us to please kindly pray for the oblates, that they are making this commitment and they are presenting themselves in order to receive the blessings that go with being an oblate, a Benedictine oblate. Today, there will be the usual 5 o'clock Vespers and Benediction. Vespers today are the first Vespers of the Blessed Mother, which tomorrow is the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Mother in the Temple. Now, at this time, I wish in the name of all of us here that you will all have a very happy Thanksgiving, which is coming up this week. Let us not look upon Thanksgiving as a worldly affair. It is a very valid affair, and we should take advantage of it. It is a day when it is set aside for us to give thanksgiving to Almighty God. And what on earth is wrong with that? So, on Thursday of this week, do not hesitate to have the usual happiness and joy that goes with the day. Of course, some people have made it a turkey day or a football day. Well, I gave up fighting the football day part, so if you can't fight them, you join them, I guess. So, but in any event, keep everything in its proper perspective. Now, from custom immemorial, in Catholic centers in this country, because of the extra food that has been cooked for the feast, and of course we all know that on Thanksgiving the food is very plentiful, and they're leftovers. Friday following Thanksgiving is not a day of abstinence. You may eat meat all day Friday if you want to. It is not, some people think that it has to be restricted. You can only eat the previous day's leftovers. Not so. You can eat anything you want on Friday. It is not a day of abstinence. Some people have invented it to be a continuous day of abstinence, but this is not according, certainly not according to, and I've been around a lot longer than most of you in here, and it has never been a day of abstinence. So enjoy it and think nothing else of it. This morning, as you see, there's the blessed wheat. here that's available in the tray. As we discussed last Sunday, that you take your packages and take perhaps one for each member of the family. And let each member of the family partake of this little practice. As I said, and some of you were not here last week when I said this, this is not something for a child, not entirely dedicated to a child. It is for the grown-ups probably more so than a child. And if there are many grains of blessed wheat here, I suggest getting one of these little aluminum containers that we can buy today and put some ordinary soil in it. Bring it in the house. And every time any one of you grown-ups who are accustomed to using foul language, any time at all I've not used a bad word, a grain of wheat planted. I have not lied, a grain of wheat planted. I've not done this other thing, a grain of wheat planted. And as the days get closer and closer to Christmas, these grains of wheat will be sprouting and will be growing. And this will be your gift to the baby Jesus. And like I said last Sunday, all the weights of gold on earth and the precious jewels on earth will not be equal to the price, to the value of that little pot full of soil with little grains of wheat growing in it. That will be a gift without equal. So I encourage it very much. And you will find the syrup today. There's many things in the bulletin. You will find the story concerning the grain of wheat. Also, beginning next Sunday, we start the Advent wreath. There are many of these little purple leaflets in the back of the church. Don't be afraid to take them. Take them home with you and use them. And have the Advent wreath available. A very good place for it is the dining room table, but it doesn't have to be there. Any place is good if it's a proper place. And of course, it is up to the father of the family to place the blessing on the Advent wreath. The littlest child can light the candle, perhaps. And the candle should be lit each day at the main meal when the father and the whole family come together to eat the main meal. And as Advent proceeds, the one candle this week and two candles next week and three, four, and so on, which we all know. So we definitely advocate the Advent wreath custom. Also in this week's bulletin, we have the listing of all of the Advent daily readings. The readings of Advent of Scripture should be performed only by the father of the family or, in his absence, the mother. These readings are not to be done by the littlest child to demonstrate how well the littlest child has learned to read. These are serious, very serious readings. And reading Scripture is a very serious business, I think. So it is only in the place of the one who holds the place of Christ in the family to do this reading. Standing, holding the book, and reading what is assigned. It shows all the way through until the last day, which is Christmas Day itself, when we read of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The calendars, this are all again available for those who wish to take them. When Father Francis is here, you may take these, buy these from him. We're asking precisely and only what we paid for them. This added sheet this week, which is green in color, we may have made a mistake in putting it in this particular bulletin, but it's there, so it's there. And we'll have to do something about it, perhaps, as we get closer. And that has to do, again, with the blessing of bread. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, the last Sunday before Christmas, you don't have to do it now. You're not forced to do it. But it would be nice, it would be wonderful if you would bring bread and bring it to this church, and I'm sure Father will have a table or whatever there to take the bread, and it will be blessed. You can bring actually as many loaves of bread as you wish and then keep the extra loaves for Christmas or whenever you want, the New Year's, Epiphany, whatever. But the one loaf is important. And wrap them, each loaf up separately, identify it with nice little Christmassy paper and make it look very pretty and attractive. And the one loaf is to be taken after it is blessed here with the rest of them, is taken home. At the main meal of that day, the bread has to be baked by the mother. You cannot go to the store and cheat. The mother has to bake the bread. Nobody else. Nobody else can do it. It might be terrible. That's fine. The mother has to do it. And the mother presents the bread to the father, who blesses it again. The father taking the place of Christ again in the family. See, everything we're trying to bring in, the raising, the lifting up of the family to its highest dimension, to its highest expression in the Christian order. The Father blesses the bread. The bread is unsliced. The Father tears a piece of bread off with his hand, and he hands the first piece to the mother in charity, in peace, in compassion, in understanding. The mother does the same thing in return, reaches out. One reaches to the other and accepts the bread from the father. Then, beginning with the eldest child around the table, the father does the same thing. And then, after this is done, the father stands up with his right hand extended. He dares, just as I dare, just as any man dares. Don't be afraid to dare, men, when you are giving the blessing of Almighty God to your household. Don't be afraid. Do it with all the dignity that it demands. Now, it can be that there are some families that would like to be with others on that day, which is fine, and the ceremony is conducted with the accumulation or whatever. There's two or three families or friends or neighbors or whoever who understand. This is the Catholic way of life. It is living Catholicity. That in all, nothing spectacular, can anything be more beautiful than the father standing up and blessing his family? Is there something wrong with that? Look at all the other things that we do and think nothing of, but the simple act of a man standing up in all of his frailty, in all of his sinfulness, in all of everything else that goes with him, who dares to stand up and give blessing? What could be more wondrous than that, especially in these our days? So, as we are approaching Advent, I think that I will have to give this out again. Be sure and keep today's bulletin for reference. And I think we'll give another copy of this before that on that Sunday, so you'll have the blessing. But mothers, do your part. Bake that bread. Give it all the symbolic meaning that it deserves. The father is the strength in the family. He holds the place of Christ in the family. It is the mother who supports him, and she gives him the bread that he is to bless and that he is to distribute. Remember, as I said last Sunday, it was the mother who went to the son in this case and said, "They have no wine." And when he said, more or less, "That's none of my business, nor is it yours," she merely said, "Do what he tells you." And he did. And if we do this in faith, if we do these little things in faith, it will bring harmony and peace and beauty into our household. We will not be inventing Catholicisms that today are floating around all over the place, that are no more Catholic than that block of brick, you know? So let us remember that. And Advent is coming. It starts next Sunday at the beginning of a new liturgical year. It's next Sunday. During Advent, it is not Lent, let us keep that in mind, but it is a time of repentance and penance. We should have some extra prayers that we involve ourselves in. Some people have the thought, it's a mistaken thought, believe me, and please don't misunderstand me, that so long as we go to Mass, so long as we attend Mass, that is the sum and substance of our, I can't think of the word at the moment, that is the sum and substance of our practice. The Mass is indeed the most important. We know that. We will not neglect that. But unless we live the rest of the time, the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of our lives according to the spirit of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the Mass will not avail us anything. The Mass, my beloved people, is completely important. We cannot survive without it. But beware, and woe to anyone who looks upon the Mass is a passport to heaven. It is not. And these words are on tape, these tapes are being passed around all over the country for anybody to listen to. It's right here. I'm not afraid of having said something that is incorrect. Unless we live, that does not mean that we have to go about as the Pharisee, the poor old Pharisee that we cannot stay away from, it does not mean that we can go about like the Pharisee and think ourselves to be saved. And he said, Lord, look at me, how wonderful I am. In all of his wondrous, activity, the Pharisee's work amounted to nothing. Therefore, beloved friends, beloved people, we come to Mass again. Let us put this dimension into it. We do not come to Mass because it is a duty. I've got to go to Mass on Sunday. If we love God because of duty, we love Him not at all. And that goes within the family. If husband loves wife and wife loves husband because of duty, what have they given to each other? Good question, isn't it? If we love God because of duty, the measure with which we measure shall be used to measure back out to us. We go to Mass because we love. We go to Mass because it pleases Him whom we love. We do not look upon Him as some, we must not look upon Him as someone who's looking at us like the dictator, and if we one step out of step, and here comes punishment. Not at all. We spend ourselves because love urges us. And the more we love, the more willing do we become to spend ourselves for the beloved. There is no other way to put it. And that's why we come to Mass. So, as we proceed toward Christmas, and there are some kooky notions about Christmas nowadays, it's, again, that are being invented as Catholicisms, which they're not. Christmas is perfectly valid. Let us enjoy it, but let us keep it, again, within the perspective of why there is a Christmas, and that is everything for the baby Jesus. The central point of it all, it is the beginning of our history that continues. It ties in the travel of the tribes of Israel as they walk through the desert and the years and the generations. Jesus Christ ties us in with those tribes as a continuation of this family of God, children of God. It is sacred, it is important, it is vital. My beloved people, I'm not permitted to speak another word. So God bless you, and if there's any question, please do not hesitate to ask. And oblates, please remain in the church after Mass, so Father Sebastian can continue with the ceremony.